And now it gives me great pleasure to introduce one of my good friends and from a local area here in South County. Let's give it up for Clint W. from Grover Beach.
Hello, everyone. Hopefully you could all hear me. If not, I'm sure I'll find out. Okay, perfect. So, hi, I'm Clint Tanner, and I am an alcoholic. My sobriety date is September 19th, 2009. Got those nines going on there. And I am grateful to be sober today. It's always an honor to be asked to be of service in Alcoholics Anonymous, especially by speaking in this new year so quickly. So thank you, Brenda, for that. It's also great to see friends from over the years who've been part of my journey attending tonight too. I hope you all can gain something from my share that will help in your recovery, even if it's just a little bit. So what it was like. I was born and raised here in Grover Beach, California, in San Luis Obispo County on the Central Coast, for those of you who aren't familiar with the area. My mother is Chinese from the East Coast. She is a New Yorker, so she's always glad to hear when there's people from New York around. And my father was actually born and raised on a family chicken ranch here on the West Coast. Interesting dynamics, to say the least. I have an older brother that I talk to occasionally, and we really didn't have too much growing up, so I don't have memories like traveling the world or really anywhere out of California except the family in Boise, Idaho. What I do remember, though, is at times me choosing not to eat as a kid because I knew we didn't have enough. Getting into screaming arguments with my mom regularly, my dad having explosion bouts of anger and isolation, and my brother just plainly hiding away from it all. And also, I did come from that family too, where saying love and giving hugs was openly discouraged. So you could tell a lot of fun growing up with memories. And I'm sure many of you could relate to having a dysfunctional family. But of course, there's light to that end of the tunnel that I'll get to. I might as well get out of the way. My first experience with alcohol was actually through my father, who, needless to say, drank a lot, was red-faced regularly, and was very intense, where walking on eggshells as a kid was understood, though, you know, being really young, I didn't understand why until later. And one significant thing that happened when I was a kid is I got whooping cough as an infant prior to the normal vaccination period. So it almost killed me. Obviously, I survived, but my immune system was decimated, and growing up being sick on a regular basis by really anything wasn't unusual. So I got used to chicken noodle soup and isolation, where I wouldn't, where I'd be, you know, days and stuff on a regular basis without contact with friends. So that isolation came in pretty early in my story, in my life. So in middle school is when I started seeing the worst in people, where my peers enjoyed seeing others hurt and getting power by taking away from others, including mine. And, you know, the only shining light for quite a while, you know, in middle school was I had a teacher, Mr. Bullard, who was new, took an interest in empowering me. And I wrote a favorite teacher essay and actually won an award from my local state assembly member for that. And I'll actually touch on that much later. But now what happened? With all that funness and happiness and what was going on in my life, middle school is the time that I got introduced personally to alcohol. And I'm not one of those people who remembers my first drink, my second drink, my third one. Those experiences weren't important. And in fact, most of my drinking experiences, I never felt any positive, impactful memories. What I did experience with alcohol was, and what it was doing, was normalizing numbness inside me all the time. But it gave me the pleasure of being able to do that while hiding away right in front of others without having to explain it. I got to be that empty shell and stuff with others and share that experience. And by that time, I'd already been betrayed by those I considered my best friends. But I still wanted, like many others, to try to have a social life, so partying seemed to be the way to do it with older people. Honestly, I'm not the kind of person who ever liked the taste of alcohol and then see myself cooler because of it. Actually, I hated myself for doing it because I knew that it was due to desperation to try to fit in with people with that mask. And realistically, I didn't actually like almost anyone else who I drank with, probably because I was watching my dad drink in front of me and stuff, you know, my whole life. And what that was like. So this continued through high school. And there were certain periods where I wasn't drinking in high school to get away from those people, but I don't consider that sobriety since that wasn't my intention. My alcoholism did already take me to many icy, dicey situations that I'm not proud of and really tested my ability to survive beyond what I was already going through. So after high school, I experienced and seen enough suffering from others that I decided to focus in college on social work. How altruistic, right? Kind of. Well, at 18, I was already jumping in the field by doing calls and overnight calls for my local crisis hotline, which sounds good until this little fact comes into play. I'd be drinking at a party or bar when my phone would go off at weird hours of the night. I'd have to leave and go across the street and take a call from someone in crisis needing to talk to. And let's be honest, I was intoxicated on a lot of those calls, the overnight ones in particular. I really do hope I didn't hurt people during those times, but that's where my disease was taking me. Even my best intentions, I was still down there, and I couldn't even look in the mirror and see that to what was going on. And as far as college drinking goes, I can lie and say that was a lot of fun, but it wasn't. And I became known very quickly as that person who would suddenly show up and suddenly disappear. And so my friendships with others, even that environment, was pretty fleeting, as was any feelings of joy I was having at best. Alcohol didn't take away that social awkwardness I was hoping for. And as far as AA, I never knew anyone in my family, friends, any of my circles who was in recovery. But it was during college that I did get introduced to AA. Of course, it's because I was dating a girl for a few months who would go to her AA meetings in downtown San Luis Obispo. And I remember it because she would go, we'd meet her after these meetings sometimes or before it. And it was these upstairs in this weird little spot next to a bar that later on I would go to. So weird times. But she mentioned she was in recovery. I never fully understood it. I only understood that she didn't drink and whatnot. So fast forward a few years. With my alcoholic drinking, my mental health continued to be on a fast decline. I had rolling blackouts, crippling depression, suicidal ideation. I trusted no one. And trying to find a way to hang on was very difficult. But once again, I met a girl. That was the solution, right? We were in love and things started to look up because of how serious it was getting. So this is the part of my story where things always got weird for people who hear it, because the way that relationship ended is what got me to the rooms. Is I got an official letter from her church that said, since I wasn't part of that church, our relationship was over. So I was devastated, to say the least, and out of all my great thinking, the thing I remembered that her religion had prohibited them from drinking alcohol. And I was like, oh, that's my silver bullet solution to get back with her. This is going to work. So I remember that meeting in AA that was in downtown San Luis Obispo that my old girlfriend had went to. And I went there, saw people I used to see her with, which was weird. And then I saw a whole lot of God all over the place during that meeting. So I don't remember too much about that meeting other than that God was not mixing with me because of this religion that my recent girlfriend, we broke up because, and I was feeling out of place. And I didn't think it was the place for me. I really didn't. And after the meeting, no one really talked to me. And I probably would have never came back, to be quite honest. But there was one guy who did. He said hi, talked with me for a few minutes. He gave me his business card saying, hey, if you needed to talk, call him. He left, and I've never seen him ever again. But he's the reason why I came back for that second meeting and on. And he's my reminder of a person who recognizes the importance of newcomers. And basically, not just the comfort of clicks that, we know that happened. And he was a prime example of someone who reached out to them and really made an impact. If it wasn't for him, I would never have been to this point today, let's be honest. So I really appreciate those who do reach out to newcomers. They are very important. So from there, I got my big book, got a sponsor, started working my steps, went to meetings. And as my story goes, during that time, I had a sobriety date and I was sober for 2 years. Well, give or take those times where I was actually out of town drinking and I was traveling a lot and hiding the fact that, though not all the time, but often enough, I'd be slipping drinks. My ego knew the value people in the rooms had placed on that continuous sobriety date. I didn't want to disappoint people or confuse them. At least that's the lie I told myself. So with that said, this should come as no surprise that not only did I never get the girl back, but I didn't obtain any lasting progress in recovery, which set up my relapse that became inevitable. And when it did, wow. In a few short months, I had no one left in my life. I'd burned everyone right away. I'd almost been killed and died a few times. Morning drinking and all day drinking was the norm, and anything I had going for me, I gave up, and that was all gone. But of course, we have all these phrases in AA that stick with us, and the one that stuck with me was a head full of AA and a belly full of beer, don't really mix. And that was ever present. And eventually I did reach out and talk to a few people from the rooms I knew. I said, I'd come back. This time was very different. So before, I never understood why anyone would show up to a meeting drunk. Well, guess what? I showed up to meetings drunk all the time coming back. I had so much incomprehensible demoralization, you know, that from what others told me during that early time coming back too, I looked like someone you would just walk across the street from to avoid for your own safety. I was not a happy camper by any means. The only thing that I had going for me was at this time I was actually open to trying to do the program genuinely because I had nothing left. And I did want what you all had or were going for, which is that serenity. So I went to meetings all the time. I actually fellowshipped with people and actually really got to start getting to know them and letting them get to know me. I went through several sponsors. I wasn't the best sponsee all the time. Sometimes it wasn't a good mix, but I did continue to get sponsors. And I did actually work through those 12 steps through all the uncomfortableness, the pain, the humiliation I didn't want to look at, but lived with for so long. And the fifth step this time, because it was genuine, it was groundbreaking for me because I was willing to take, there's so much stuff I was willing to take to the grave that I barely, to be quite honest, had written down in my fourth step that I was finally able to tell someone. And it was a major burden off me. These steps were a blessing that I never wanted, but I needed. It wasn't easy and it wasn't quick for me. I wasn't one of those people who did all my steps in like 2 months. No, I went through many sponsors. So it took me, a couple of years realistically to do it all, but at least it was genuine this time. And eventually I did start to find that freedom that I was seeking. So with now really fast forward, because I always run out of time since I like to talk about things, I do want to get to what it's like now. A little bit of that hope part. So I do have 11 years of actual continuous sobriety. There have been no slips. There have been no cheats, no drinks of any kind, no lying to myself or anyone else on that. And my ego today probably wouldn't even let me lie if that ever happened again too. So I am grateful to have that continuous sobriety stuff that I did want when I was in AA the first real time. And I do have a true connection with others and stuff. I have family that, you know, I've never had before. I have a girlfriend and we've overcome a lot together. She has two, you know, older teenage kids that aren't biologically my own, but they're in my own heart. I wouldn't trade them anything for the world. Though I'm sure they would trade me for a trip to McDonald's or things like that. So gotta take them for where they're at times. I even go to breakfast once a week with my parents now, and I've been doing this for years. And they asked me to originally do this. And I have a foundation with them that I never thought was possible. I thought those relationships were burned to the ground. And even my dad doesn't drink much anymore, strangely enough, because of my journey. He said he had to take a look at that too. And my older brother and I, we're still working on our relationship. But one of the powerful things with him is he was open and accepted my ninth step without question when I did that with him. And the reality is that I hid for quite a while is I treated him really badly, like in ways that I understood why without hesitation, he didn't want to be around me. So for him to actually, you know, have any relationship with me is a pretty big deal. And as someone who used to run away from people and feared social environments, it was weird how the fellowship had taught me how to be around people, how to learn to be normal-ish, you know, like how we are kind of normal-ish, and engage people on a very deep level, much more quickly than any education training ever told me to do. And it's weird to have conversations and stuff with strangers in AA, like these were people and stuff that I've known forever. But that's the norm how I've started becoming too. And nowadays I'm actually known, you know, outside of the room stuff, but even people in the room stuff for being a person very involved in my community with service organizations, nonprofits, chamber of commerces, governmental affairs, and highly visible in a number of events. It's strange for me to think that I used to think everyone was always drinking all the time at everything. I even find out now it's been over these years that there's a lot of people who aren't even in recovery that don't drink at all, especially at these events where that's where you think the focus is. In fact, the only people who even tend to catch on that don't drink alcohol are those who know that about me, since I don't have a problem nowadays telling people that I'm sober anymore, or those who, of course, are always drinking a lot who tend to notice when others don't. But yeah, for the most part, I found my comfort in many environments. And actually one thing that was cool, I've gotten to complete things I never thought before, like a number of prominent local, state, and national leadership programs, including being part of pioneer groups for several of them, or the only one who's ever gone through it for our area. And even weirder, I've received numerous new recognitions for things I've done, including from statewide officials like Lieutenant Governor, a Secretary of State, an Insurance Commissioner, State Treasurer. Weird stuff for me. And this is all from a person who for so many years in my life thought I was a nobody, never going anywhere, was gonna amount to nothing, had nothing to contribute, and wanted to die every single day. I mean, even on my 25th birthday, my mom told me she was still surprised I was alive. So it's I'm pretty happy with making it this far because of sobriety. And oh yeah, and back to that one shining part in middle school with the favorite teacher award essay from my local assembly member. It's strange how things even connected and stuff in my present times where I've now have worked for the California State Senate. Obviously not a senator, but you know, who would have guessed someone who really had nothing in life end up, you know, doing that kind of stuff. So when people talk about, you know, getting a life of your wildest dreams, I've gotten that. And before, my dreams were very small, usually nightmares too. And I still have a lot of quality problems and obstacles to overcome to this day in recovery. But with the foundation A's given me, I do have life worth living and it's worth going through. So I'm very grateful for my sobriety and everyone in the fellowship. And for those who need to hear it too, when I say everyone in the fellowship, I mean it. There are people that I don't agree with or get along with and stuff too, but by God, if there aren't those moments where they say a gem that if I wasn't there to hear it from them, it would have never reached my ears and I would have never had those positive impacts. So I really thank you for Brenda for inviting me to be here tonight too. And I thank you all and wish you the best luck on your journeys. And we all will make it through and stuff another year too. So I'm glad to be part of your year in 2021, how strange that is. So thank you.
All right. Oh my gosh, let's give Clint another round of applause. Thank you so much.